Fellow Freedom fans, we're back here on the Eagle 104.3 FM. I am David Allen Carmichael, and we're following up from a little talk we had with Linda Williams from Hester House. I do want to make a comment about what Sister Linda Williams was saying. She made a comment about it's not just how much money an individual can give, it's if we give collectively. And she's right. Notice that what she's talking about are gifts of love, are gifts of motivated out of love and not compulsion. They're gifts motivated out of love and not compulsion. What her call to us, to me, to our listening audience, to everywhere on the planet, is that would we would be, you know, as I said, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And in doing this, what you're going to do is you're going to fulfill every law. We won't have a need for a bureaucracy. We will not have a need for a Social Security Administration or for the Community Services Board or whatever it might be, because we are diligently taking care of our neighbor. You know, take care of our family and then take care of our neighbor. So she was mentioning something that was, if we would do this, if we would do this, then we would have less bureaucracy coming at us and by compulsion, compelling us to give money. And then what happens is we know it all works out this way in the government. If they start collecting our money, well, it costs a certain amount of administration dollars to take our money from us. Somebody's going to have to get a piece of that pie. So a portion of our money just goes toward the cost of collecting our money. And then there's the administration of this bureaucracy that will run the program that is supposed to be ministering to the needs of the poor people in our community that we're supposed to be ministering to. So there's a certain chunk of the pie that gets taken by those who administer that program. And then there's a much smaller amount out of all the money that we pay that actually goes to the need. I mentioned something, and I'm going to say it again. This time I'm actually going to, I realized as I was talking, I went and reached over, I grabbed a Bible. I want to read this. This is in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 2. Because of the transgression of the land, many are its princes. This is profound. Because of the transgression of the land, many are its princes. When we don't take care of our family and we don't take care of our neighbor, that's transgression. It's a wrong. And so what happens as a result, many are the princes. Much is the larger is the bureaucracy as a byproduct. Now, we don't realize this. And the reason I'm bringing this up, we have two sides of a political house, a political coin. You have the liberals and the conservatives. You got the Democrats and the Republicans. And most Democrats, like, quote, I read a quote from Hillary Clinton today. And what she said, we talked last week and the week before about this notion of, actually, it was 2 weeks ago, universal health care and why it's actually an indictment on our nation and actually has a wrong built into it. So today, I was reading a news article that yesterday, Mrs. Clinton proposed universal child feeding. So we have the thought of universal mandatory health care and then universal mandatory child feeding, and of course, an increase in tax credits, an increase in, care at the same time. So that's kind of interesting. But what it would do, it would compel people to give to a federal or whatever program, whoever's managing it, to compel people to give to support this. It won't be an act of love. It'll be compelled and it'll be mandatory and be coerced. The money will be coerced. But then the thing is, they're going to have to police every one of our children. They're actually going to have to make a police state out of inventorying our family's behavior. That's every family in America, if they call it universal. Many are its princes. The increase of these princes that would come and take care of our children and feed every one of them by compelling each of us to give to the cause and then compelling each of us to submit to the police state that would monitor how we behave with our children with regard to their feeding and health care is a result of the transgression of the land. You see, if we just get lackadaisical about taking care of the least of these, somebody's going to pick it up and it will be to our hurt. You know, we all know in any kind of investment we make that it takes a certain amount of work, a certain amount of sweat equity to bear fruit. to bear a positive fruit, to get results. Of course, we know by looking at agriculture, I think it's like 500 corn kernels to every one seed planted. It's something really crazy like that. So the increase from planting a seed is just amazing. But we've got to do the plowing. We've got to do the weeding. We've got to do the seeding. We've got to do the watering or the irrigation or whatever it takes. We've got to keep the pests away. But the result is awesome. It is a blessing. It comes in abundance so that we can not only take care of ourselves, but we can let other people walking along the road pick up the gleanings to provide for themselves. But that's because of investment. So I wanted to basically talk about what Linda Williams said at the Hester House Ministries. By the way, they're just pressing on doing the job, and they don't have a great big church or community organization that's supporting them. And so who knows who's listening to this broadcast today who might just providentially be inspired to meet that need. It's quite exciting. Hey, I wanted to tell you the vision of this. I meant to do this at the beginning of this broadcast. The desire, my desire, is to do crazy things like quote those Virginians who started the government that we know in Virginia today. And so it gives us a frame of reference. It makes us have to push reset on our thinking. So when we begin to consider the purpose of government, what our civic duty is, and if we can just clean up the show a little bit, then things are going to go better for us. One of the things, I got an email about House Bill 429, House Bill 894, House Bill 1315, and House Bill 1556. These happen to be, and I wish I had my laptop, but I don't, and they're kind of regulations concerning the practice, medical practice, so they say, of abortions. One of them is something that actually makes it a crime, or actually defines the crime. Let's say it doesn't make it a crime, but it defines the crime of coercing somebody into having an abortion. Now, the reason I say it defines the crime is because in the common law, a wrong is a wrong. So it is a wrong, it is a crime to coerce somebody into an abortion, because guess what? You're having an impact on that in utero life. In Exodus chapter 22, I was going to, there's a guy that was he was one of the main speakers of Americans Separated for the Separation of Church and State. And he talks about, in Exodus 21, he said, yeah, if somebody punches a lady in the stomach and she gives birth to the baby and, you know, or it gets aborted, then it's lesser crime than murder. Well, actually, it's not. It turns out, if you read that part of the Bible, if the baby comes and no, and I'm going to quote it right here, yet no lasting harm follows, he shall surely be punished according as a woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. So it's like punching somebody in the nose if no harm comes. Under the common law, there is already a remedy, or there's already a correction or punitive measures available if somebody coerces somebody into getting an abortion. Now, you know, coercion has its own definition in the law. I guess one of the problems is nobody really has the courage to go and bring a criminal suit against somebody. And if you're poor and you go to give a criminal suit in a criminal court, say the circuit court in Virginia, the judge just may abuse you for trying to, practice law without a license. I've actually seen that kind of thing happen. So the weaker person of our society wouldn't know necessarily the common law mechanism. So for the Virginia General Assembly, I'm trying to analyze, is it right for them to create a civil statute defining this crime? I thought, well, that's not too bad. Or maybe giving a mechanism for somebody to take action against somebody, very clear jurisdiction and boundaries and motives of what the court ought to be doing to fix a problem. But what this bill does is it actually makes it a misdemeanor. Now, misdemeanor is not a capital crime. It's not a felonious crime or anything like that. It's a misdemeanor. It's a little bit tougher than a traffic citation. It's kind of like reckless driving. It's equivalent to reckless driving. So somebody would coerce somebody into violating their conscience or doing whatever it is, and it affecting the life of the unborn, they're saying it's a misdemeanor. And then there's another case, depending on the situation, where it would be a felony. And so I was actually disturbed by that. And I thought, you know what? There's our legislators are up there trying to do good things by nipping this practice that's a blight on our society. They're trying to nip it in the bud. And they're trying to correct, one, that women are being exploited and going into unclean situations that are unregulated and getting this abortion, which is, you know, damaging the life of the unborn, but it's also putting the mother at risk. And in most cases, the mother is uninformed and really doesn't know cognitively, really is not making a sound judgment and will, in many cases, regret it later because she is not really informed about what's really going on. So one of the bills is that they be educated, to be shown a picture of the life that's in them so that when they make a decision, they'll really know what they're doing, that nobody is duping them. So that's one of the bills. And I thought that was very good. So it's meeting the needs of the least of these. The problem is it still grieves me that we're debating over regulating a horrific wrong. We're debating over, okay, make sure you look at their picture before you murder them. Now, those are hard, hard statements. Those are hard. It is a life. It is a life. And this is talk radio, so we have that free speech kind of thing going on because we need to dialogue about these things. We need to debate about it. We need it to bring it to the surface. You know, it would have been a horrible thing if, you know, 150 years ago, people were keeping slavery a secret. Well, it's only happened in the South. Let's not really talk about it. Now, let's not bring it up in a public forum. Because it makes people feel uncomfortable. Life is good. Be fruitful and multiply. Subdue the earth. Boy, you know, if we were being fruitful and multiplying, maybe we would be invading Mexico and Canada. And they would be worrying about us encroaching their borders and not others encroaching ours. Let's subdue the earth. Let's be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. If we were having children that could take care of us in our old age, we wouldn't have such a, you know, the crisis with Social Security right now is because we are not reproducing. There's not going to be enough people to even take care of the Social Security bill. So these are kind of crazy things that I'm saying here on this Faith and Freedom Show. And if you would like to respond, you can do what somebody did last week and give an input on our blog and challenge some of these thoughts. And if you have some very clear thoughts about this that are substantive, I'd love to see it. I'd love to hear from you because I am impassioned about this. This is necessary. Our legislators are going up there and are really, in many cases, don't understand what they're doing. They don't understand the reference. And I'd like to have calls to delegates and senators every day of the week and challenge them on some of these things and have callers talking about these things and start waking up our society about these issues of right and wrong. Our freedom will come in proportion to our faith. Check us out on www.faithfrontier.org and check out our podcast and our blog if you would like to give an input on www.faithfreedoms.net. If you'd like me to come visit, I would love it if you invite me to your Ruritan Club or some other civic organization or church so I could share the big picture of what I'd like to do and let you know how you can get involved to make a difference on this Faith and Freedom Show. Hey, you have to admit it. You've been listening to some things and hearing some things that you know that your friends and family need to tune into. Go ahead and tell them. It's Eagle 104.3 FM from 3 to 5 every weekday. You're going to hear some things that you don't like, but I think you're going to hear some things that you do like. I think when you all add it up, it's all going to work out for our good. I think people will be challenged to call. In fact, you can, again, I encourage you to check out the Faith Freedoms.net podcast. That's a great way to give me some direct feedback, and some of your feedback will actually get posted on the internet. So whether or not you want to put your name on it, it's something for you to think about. Tune in again, as I said, every weekday, 3 to 5 p.m., here for what I call the Faith and Freedom Show. I talk about the issues of the day from a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong for this Liberty Works radio network and the Eagle 104.3 FM. We'll see you again. We shall return.